Let's get it. Welcome to Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Jack Hampton. This is my co-host, Cooper Neal. What's up, Coop? How you doing, my guy?
As always, surviving and thriving. How are you?
I'm good, man. I love to hear that. We have so very much to get into today, including Stephen Curry revealing his true feelings on their 50-point embarrassment. And he also leaked why he was questionable before the game even started. We're also going to touch on Cooper's biggest takeaways from the NFL Combine over the weekend. But first, it's Monday, so we're going to play some NBA Fact or Fiction. And let's get right to the thumbnail of this podcast. The Warriors lost by 52, as I said yesterday.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Tell me fact or fiction, Coop. Their loss will be a bad turning point for the rest of their season.
Fiction. Look, this is just my theory on this. Mm-hmm. The Boston Celtics were unleashing some demons on the Golden State Warriors from their loss in the finals a couple years ago. I know that was a couple years ago. You never forget that.
Nope.
Especially with the way they beat them.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was just, hey, we're way better than you are right now. We're about to unleash this biggest can of whoop-ass that you've ever seen in your life, and we're not letting up.
Yep.
And that's what happened. And then, I mean, Steve Kerr benched the guys at halftime. So
yeah. I was with Kobe on Sunday. I used to go to high school with him. He's a big Celtics fan. When I was with him, he was telling me, hey, Jack, hey, we're up by 20 in the first quarter. I'm like, cool, whatever, man. We're up by 30 in the second quarter. Hey, Jack, we're up by 40 in the second quarter. Then I ended up leaving. I get home, I'm like, maybe it got close again. I can catch the second half on ABC. Negative. I get out of my car to walk into our building, Cooper, and I get a notification.
From Bleacher Report.
Yep. That the Celtics were up by 50 at halftime.
Yep.
And that Steve Kerr was pulling the starters. So I was like, well, guess I can't watch that. I'm waiting until Oklahoma City and Phoenix tonight. And that's exactly what I did. This is fiction. I agree with you. The Warriors have won 13 of their last 17 games, 6 of 7 going into that game yesterday. And Curry was in fine spirits after the game. He had said, if you would have told me on this 4-game road trip we end up 3-1 heading back to the Bay, I would have taken it.
Exactly.
Yes, this is embarrassing as hell, but we can't get too caught up in the emotions. We play terribly, and that's what happened.
It's an 82-game season. A lot of things can happen. At the end of the day, 4-game road trips typically don't go 3-1.
Exactly.
Be grateful.
Yes.
Like, and that's your last game of the road trip always is one of the rougher ones. Like, you see those schedule losses, as they quote unquote put it. This was just
absolutely.
I chalked this up to it was just a rough time to meet the Boston Celtics.
100%. And to address the title itself, he was questionable going into this game. It was listed as a knee injury, and they played Toronto, and he had banged it on. I think he had banged knees with somebody, and that morning he was questionable because he had to, like, see if it was hurting while he was playing. He said he was good to go. He doesn't regret playing, even though he played 15 minutes. Like, he's fine, but there's nothing more serious than that. The fact that he was questionable, a lot of people raised eyebrows, like, does he need to be playing right now?
Yeah.
Is he playing through something? It's not that. It's just a knee contusion. It's some type of bruise.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be all right. All right, secondly, Jalen Brunson, speaking of injuries, left the Cavs game after 1 minute of play, and this was another knee injury. Afterwards, Tibbs said it was only a bruised knee, similar to Stephen Curry, and all x-rays were negative. The Knicks still won because Deuce McBride played 47 minutes in Cleveland yesterday.
47 minutes.
Coop, tell me fact or fiction, Jalen Brunson must play by any means necessary, even though we are still in March.
Fiction. No, look, this team has so many injuries right now. I saw Robinson, I think, is out for a couple more games or a couple more weeks. Julius Randle's working his way back. OG Anunoby's working his way back. Do not rush Jalen Brunson back. Don't. You're set in the top four. I firmly believe that. This team will be set in the top four. Don't rush back a guy that is your key to winning in playoffs.
I'm going to say fact because the difference going in between them and the Warriors, they're 7-8. Like, in their last 15, they are struggling and they're plummeting. I think he has to play with three other starters out, Randle, Robinson, and OG. Like, this team is, like, nosediving. And we, like, we played that game over and under, and you and I kind of agreed that, like, I mean, they have to be the team to fall. Same with Cleveland. Mitchell's been out. But, like, they can't fall in the play-in. And with Miami, like, we talked about Miami last week. Like, we
– Miami stings, bro. Like, that's not even a good ball – like, no, they're a good ball club. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Miami's just not as good as the Knicks. Like, even without Jalen Brunson, like, obviously you're not going to get 47 minutes out of McBride again, probably.
Yeah.
But
– the fact that Tibbs is like, Deuce, go in there.
Yeah.
Actually, you're never coming out.
Yeah, by the way, you're not getting a break. But I don't know. I just feel like worst case scenario is you force him to play and then mm-hmm. he snaps his knee.
Hurt.
And then you're done for the year. Mm-hmm. And then you're stuck in the playoffs. And you have to play a playoff series without
true.
Him.
That's very true.
And it's like, I don't know. I would be cautious because mm-hmm. I think they still have a little bit of leeway to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Would be my take.
Got you. All right, next one. Another chapter into the Kings' greatness.
Uh-oh.
LeBron reached 40,000 points over the weekend. Fact or fiction, Cooper? This record will never be broken. Say it.
That's probably,
say fact.
It's probably cap.
There's no cap.
If LeBron's involved, there's always cap. No, this is fact. Nobody's broken.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think anybody's been play for 20 years anymore.
Bro, Luka would have to be fully healthy and average exactly what he's averaging right now until he's 41 years old to be able to break this record. And Luka got asked about that. He was like, I'm not playing anywhere near 41.
That's the thing, though. Like, I feel like these guys, they're like, dude, I'm content with a 10 yeah. to 15-year career. Not, no, 25.
Yes. And the fact that he's still averaging 25 points a game is just, like,
yeah.
insane. And no, an incredibly healthy career. He's – LeBron, the story of his career has been longevity. He's taking care of his body. The modern medicine has been great to him. He's invested tons of money into that. And that this record will never be broken. He's top 5 in assists and rebounds, too. He's the second player ever to do that.
Does anybody get to 40,000?
No. I mean so. Kareem's record was 38,000, and people thought that was untouchable, yeah. and I don't know.
I stand by the only two untouchable records in the NBA are John Stockton's assist and steals.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think anybody's getting close to those.
I agree with that. 100% agree with that. All right, final one. We have a new number one seed in the Western Conference. It's like you and I talked about this. Oklahoma City is now the official number one seed in the West. Fact or fiction, they will win that conference.
Fact. I think OKC, the difference between an OKC and, like, say, a Lakers and Golden State, they're young.
Yep.
They want to win every night. It's not like we're going to coast now because we're the number one seed. No, no, no. They want the recognition of being the number one seed, maybe the number two seed, but they're not losing it.
Denver wants it, but, like, in the back of their mind, they're like, we have been to the mountaintop. We know we have what it takes to get there again.
We don't have to prove anything anymore.
Minnesota, I don't care what anybody says. The Anthony Edwards shit has gone way too far. They're 22nd in clutch points per game. They don't have a closer.
No.
And they had
Ant's so cold because he's sitting there with 5 points. Like, yeah. It's kind of hard to be a closer when you're not in rhythm.
And they've had a 6-game homestand. They're 3-3 at home. They lost to the Clippers on Sunday, who have been struggling as well. And when you don't have a closer going down the stretch of an NBA season, I don't trust you. Yeah. I don't know the
Didn't
pecking
they just play us too?
Yeah, and they struggled. Yeah, they struggled with the Grizzlies at home. Yeah, it's I think Oklahoma City will win it because Denver is content with where they are. Minnesota will continue to fall, and the L.A. Clippers banged up. Russell Westbrook had hand surgery today, not coming back until the beginning of the playoffs. I think for that reason, Oklahoma City wins it.
I think so, too. I'm about to throw a fact or fiction back your way as soon as I pull up these standings.
Let's do it.
I'm assuming Minnesota, are they 2 or 3?
Minnesota is 2.
They are 2.
While you're pulling that up, I can tell you about travesty of a game I went to.
Yes, please tell me about this.
Okay.
I'm so ready to hear this.
So
I felt so bad you had to go.
Oh, I know. So, those of you who don't know, my dad's birthday was last Friday. Yeah, it was clutch, by the way. You see me shut off the AC so it wouldn't get loud in here type shit. But my dad's birthday was last Friday, and a couple weeks ago, his wife, who's my stepmom, is out in Tokyo running a marathon, so he's all alone. He's like, Jack, would you not only go to a Grizzlies game, but you and I haven't sat courtside in a long, long time, and the Grizzlies are dog shit and the tickets are pretty cheap. Would you sit courtside with me? And I'm like, Dad, do I really have to? And he was like, nah, be for real. I was like, yes, of course I will, Dad. It's your birthday. Let's go to dinner before. And that's what we did. Great night. Dinner was great downtown. Catherine and Mary's on Main Street. It's incredible. It's right over by SOB. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's same street. Incredible foods. Clean. Good. Really good. Went there. And we walk into the arena. We find our seats. I text our buddy Devin Walker, head of Grizzly Social. He's down on the other end taking pictures of Vince Williams warming up. I'm like, this poor guy. I text him because it was his birthday Saturday. Like, hey, if you got an opportunity, I want to tell happy birthday, come over here. Well, he's taking pictures of Vince and Zaire. And
sorry.
I know.
Having to be forced to take pictures of Zaire Williams and Jake Arrivia sucks.
I hang around for like 5 or 10 minutes, and I want to go up and talk to Chris before he goes on air. And as I'm on the way to talk to Chris, Devin sends me a picture of my empty seats and goes, what the hell? And I said, I'm sorry. I went to talk to Chris. So I'm going to talk to Chris Vernon, who does a pregame for the Grizzlies. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? First thing he does, he puts his arm around me, whispers my ears, like, Jack, are you feeling okay? Do you not have anything better to do on a Friday night? And he didn't see my dad, obviously. And I'm like, no, Chris. It's my dad's birthday, and he, of course, immediately, oh, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Chris. And it, like, this story, like, turns into a good mood, and then puts his arm around me. He's like, it's okay. Suffer through it. And then he goes up and stands on the set, and him and Rob Fisher, he's trying to guess the starting five, and, of course, he's guessing wrong because Jaren's not playing.
Yeah.
And once that happens, we get back to our seats, and, like, I'm not even going to shit you. Like, this was – to go to a 30-point Blazers-Grizzlies blowout, like, these were the seats to have. We were, like, under the basket, but all the way shoved against the Blazers bench.
That's nice.
So my dad was literally, like, the seat from, like, Scoot and, like, yeah. Jeremy Grant and all them. So we got to – I'd never been that close to a huddle, and seeing DeAndre Ayton, I watched him a lot just to see if the scuttlebutt about him being a shit teammate was true. And, like, he seemed fine. But it was hilarious because the Blazers – obviously, the vets, D.A. and Malcolm Brogdon, who were not dressed out, sat directly next to Chauncey Billups and, like, by the coaches, that end of the bench. And then by our end of the bench, they made Scoot Henderson, even though he's a second pick, sit in the second row with the assistant coaches. Yes. Which I thought that was funny. And it was, like, little shit of how they operate and talk. It was, like, really cool to see. Shaden Sharp didn't dress out either, but it was just fun to see how they interacted. And that Blazers team, they love each other. Like, DeAndre Ayton's not a leader, but Brogdon's been he was a good veteran in the huddle for them. And it was just cool to see up close. But the game as a whole, Grizzlies get beat by 30. They're trying.
Behind Jake Arrivia's 23.
Yeah, and they're putting – Chris went on a rant today about why – we know Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams – are good off ball. Why are we trying to develop them on ball?
Yeah.
One, it's because we're trying to lose. But Chris's point is, if we're to the point where Vince Williams has to handle the ball, we're fucked anyways. Like, we don't need to develop that aspect of him. But, yeah, the game was dog shit. But we had a great time, so.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that.
Whenever somebody that works for the team is like, bro, why are you here? Yes. Why are you here?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? That's a great point.
That's a great question. No wonder Cooper and I haven't been back since we lost everybody. Yes. Since we watched Desmond Bain die.
Dude, that's what I told him. I was like, dude, Cooper and I have not been here since I saw you last in January. When was that? Beginning of the year? January?
Yeah, it was like, because it was when the Clippers came and then Desmond Bain got hurt.
Yeah.
It was when Bain got hurt.
Yeah, that was when Ja got hurt, or a week after.
Yeah. Because you were like, well, much for paying for tickets.
Yeah, we haven't missed a damn thing.
Yeah, I know.
And you had said off air to me that Jaren Jackson's done playing. I agree with that.
Yeah. When you told me, because I was like, hey, at least you're going to get to watch Scoot. And then you your video, there's Scoot. And I was like, damn, he's pretty close. I was like, well, who else ain't playing? You said Scoot, Jaren,
Shaden Sharp, Malcolm Brogdon, DeAndre Ayton.
I was like, damn, who you watching?
Dead ass, dude. It was a whole lot of – Jeremy Grant only had 10. Simons was a beast, but like
– Simons is awesome. Yeah. That is at least worth it.
My dad had never watched him play before, and I'm like, you better watch this number one. He's special.
He's dope. Yeah. He's dope. He's Dame 2.0 for that team. Yeah. Like, he's not as good, but like as far as like – pure shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's his second closest thing you can get.
Absolutely.
Like for them to go from Dame to Simons, like, you know how much I've loved Anthony Simons. Absolutely. I've loved him ever since he came in the league. Absolutely. But
you said Jake Laravia 23 points, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I was at the game and I didn't notice it.
Well, I mean, we lost by 30, so if Jake Laravia is your leading scorer and you lose by 30, I think that's a telltale sign of the problem.
There could have been a bomb threat and people couldn't have cleared out faster. I mean, dead ass serious. Like somebody,
dude, I swear, if we have to suffer through another bad year of basketball with the Grizzlies again, I'll cry.
Yeah.
This is already too much. I had to suffer through the Tyreek Evans year. That, like, you remember that.
Oh, 100%.
That year was at least semi-fun.
Yeah, this is... Dad, up until this point, they've been competitive, but Dad usually has to, like, in the fourth quarter, because he doesn't like fighting traffic. He's like, hey, can we, like, leave? And he, like, has trying to kind of suppress me about it. 11 minutes left in the fourth. I'm like, you're not going to ask me?
Can we not leave?
We can go, Pop.
It's all right. Like, I won't be upset.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Did,
yeah.
So did you get to dap up Devin or no?
No, I didn't. I texted him. Because by the time I made it back, they were in the tunnel and shit, but it was fine. It was fine. That one comment from Chris was...
All you needed to know.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, all you needed to know. But the fact or fiction that I was going to give you...
And Dad and Chris's mom talk for like 30 minutes. I'm like,
did they really?
Yeah, I'm like, what is that? You remember how talkative
yeah.
she was?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Roser's mom. Roser's, because she had introduced, like, and this is his producer, John Roser's mom, to my dad. And she, like, squished. She's like, yeah, have you met my son? I'm sorry. I'm like, no, I love him.
Dude, I love my roommate Roser.
Met him out in Vegas. Super Roser's nice guy.
Super dope.
Yeah, whatever.
Man, I'm in the Roser gang.
Hell yeah.
Not the Niner game with the Roser gang.
Hell
but
yeah.
I was just going to throw it at you.
Let's do it.
Timberwolves, fact or fiction, they fall lower than just two.
Yeah, I think it could be four or five.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the Nuggets and Clippers both jump them, and then one of those like middle teams, the Pelicans, Kings, or if the Suns get hot again, I think could pass them. And they could – there's a – feasible thing where they won't host a playoff series, which would be crazy.
I don't think they do.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll drop
all the way to five, but three or four, 100%.
Yeah. I could totally see them falling to three or four.
Yeah.
I can see them even falling to five. I mean, that's a drop. Like, yep. That's six games drop, which mm-hmm. is easier said than done. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that's capable. Like, you would need to see a Dallas, Phoenix, Sacramento, or Pelicans just go on a torrent stretch, which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but seeing as all of those teams are hovering over 500 mm-hmm. over the last 10 games, I'm not going to bank on it. But I totally can see Denver and Clippers taking over on them.
Absolutely.
Like, easily. Mm-hmm. That was what I was going to throw at you. But
I love it.
We also had a butt ton of injuries in the NBA the last couple of days.
Sad.
Like, every time I look at my Bleacher Report, it's another, oh, so-and-so's broken hand, so-and-so's successful surgery. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, sad. Russ is out. Mm-hmm. Who else did I see was out?
The Westbrook thing's tough. It was on the Westbrook bobblehead night. Give that man
dang,
a break.
Dang, really?
Yeah, give that man a break, dude.
And then I saw Donovan's out three games.
Yeah.
Obviously, you already mentioned Brunson.
Yeah.
There was another person that
Mitchell,
I was like.
Mitchell's been out for a few games, and that's another threes. Definitely tough.
Yeah, especially for them. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was somebody else, but I don't see it. So,
you want to do some top five NBA teams?
Oh, absolutely.
You still got the standings pulled up?
Oh, yeah. I know who your number one team is. It's the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, of course. Boston Celtics probably won't move for the rest of the year. 48-12, 11-game winning streak, longest in the NBA. Yep. Bucks jump all the way up to 2. 40-21, 5-0 since the All-Star break. They have found something in Milwaukee. Given Dame, and, yes, they have. Yes, they have.
It's not happening.
Yes, they have.
Nope.
They've found something.
They've played in rat teams.
They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves at home.
Rat team.
The Red Hot Charlotte Hornets beat them twice.
Rat team.
Okay. You forget this team lost to the Memphis Grizzlies before the All-Star break.
Oh, I remember. That's why they're a rat team.
The Milwaukee Bucks are the second best team in the NBA.
Cat. All right, LeBron lover. You're turning into LeBron over there, capping so much. Sorry, I'll let you get through.
Go ahead, because Doc Rivers gets all this slander, and I haven't heard shit for a week.
It's because you haven't been able to talk to me.
Okay, fair. Fair. Very fair.
If I could do a Doc Rivers impression right now, I totally would.
Dude, it's impossible.
Because I don't know how you can't breathe.
You just can't drink water for like 8 days and then go in the Moab Desert and just, there you go.
You have to lose vocal cords.
Yes.
100%. Sorry, I'll let you continue. Number three.
Number three is the Denver Nuggets at 42-19.
Damn, okay.
The Thunder are 4 at 42-18. The Clippers are 5 at 39-20. Timberwolves, first team out, 42-19. Cavs, 39-21.
I won't lie to you. The fact that the Thunder are 4 is crazy. I know why you're doing it, because we still have the young team theory.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
Thunder is, like, my thing is, like, mine has postseason involved. It's not just regular season shit.
No.
Thunder are not beating the Nuggets in a 7-game series. Thunder are not beating the Milwaukee Bucks in a 7-game series, and they're damn sure not beating the Celtics.
Hold on. They're 1,000% beating the Bucks in a 7-game series, because the Bucks will go up 3-1.
Okay.
Thunder will come back.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah. The difference is
Doc Rivers always a choker.
The difference is you don't have a Hall of Fame collapser in Chris Paul and Blake Griffin on your team. You don't have a Hall of Fame shrinker in James Harden and Joel Embiid on your team. You have Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis, NBA champion already, and Dame, the clutchest player in NBA history. He's going to be fine with a 3-1 ship.
We'll see.
Okay.
Mr. 3-1 himself.
Yeah. Good luck, Chet, against Giannis. Good luck, Chet.
I'm so happy to watch you, like, love on the Milwaukee Bucks, because, like, I've never met a Milwaukee fan, so I've always just wanted
to It took me forever to hop off their bandwagon, and I still didn't do it before All-Star break.
They I more or less did it because you lost to Gigi Jackson.
Yeah. And I still, like, I watched that entire game, and I still would not do it. I'm like, I... You cannot have Dame and Giannis on your team and, like, be bad.
Oh, I know. And I even mentioned, I was like, Dame's probably about to wake up after that All-Star game he just had.
Yeah.
Like, the three-point thing, yes, and then him going out there and dropping, like, what was it, 40-something? Mm-hmm. Like, shooting half-court shots like it was nothing. Like, I was like, he's going to click. Like,
the fact that this team has had an assistant coach quit in training camp, a complete meltdown in the locker room, players-wise, Damian Lillard going through a divorce, Damian Lillard trying to integrate himself into a new team, Giannis having bad efficiency numbers, taking one of the highest usage rates in the league. You fire your coach in the middle of the year, you put another coach in the middle of the year, and they're still 20 games over 500. Like,
oh yeah,
it's crazy.
No, I mean, they're a good basketball team. We'll see. We'll see how long it lasts.
For sure. You want to get into some TikToks?
Absolutely.
All right. Got some interesting ones for you.
They play the Clippers tonight, by the way.
It's going to be a good game.
That will be a good game.
Really good game.
They play Warriors at Warriors on Wednesday. Yep.
No, we're going to find out about Milwaukee this week, and I can't wait to talk about them on Thursday.
Oh, this is a brutal month.
Yep.
Their easiest games are Hawks. I'm going to throw Pelicans in there because, yeah. Nets. That's it. It's you have Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, 76ers, Suns, Celtics, Nets, Thunder, Lakers, Pelicans, Hawks. That's brutal.
Hey, getting right on the rat teams is where they needed to get right in this 5-game stretch, and they have.
Yeah. Yeah, because the April's rats.
Yep.
They Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see. Yeah. If by the end of March, I think is where we'll know exactly what this team is.
Yep. I agree.
Sorry. Now we can get to some TikToks.
All right. Let's do some TikToks.
After going 4-for-4 last week on that.
Dude, you did kill that shit. By the way, that TikTok did well.
So yeah.
It's good.
I watched that one. That one was fun.
All right. So first, this is a top five.
All right.
You're guessing, I'm going to repeat it again, obviously, for the clip, but worst field goal percentage in the NBA.
This year?
This year.
Okay.
A rookie leads it.
Oh.
A rookie top three that was drafted top three.
Oh, I know.
Leads this category.
Yeah, I know who it is.
The other ones are all role players. Think of three of these guys started the year with a different team than they're on right now.
Oh.
And they're all like role players, lower tier guys, and I'll give you more hints as we go, but I think you'll have one name to start off with. All right. Guess the five NBA players with the worst field goal percentage this season.
So, Scoot Henderson's the rookie.
Scoot Henderson is number one at 37.5%.
Oh, that is...
From the field.
That is rough.
Yep. 37.5% from the field.
I want to say this name, not because I think it's going to be right, but more or less just because I want to shit on him, mm-hmm. and that's Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole's a great guess. But he's actually not in the top five.
Oh, I know he's not. Mm-hmm. Based on the information I was given, I knew he wasn't going to be in the top five. But I just want to point out, Jordan Poole's bad at basketball.
The fact that he's not starting on the worst team in the NBA shows a lot.
Yeah.
And it's sad because if the punch never happened, then Who knows if he's in,
I know.
In Washington.
Man, he got knocked out so hard he forgot how to shoot a basketball.
Oh, no. It's crazy.
That's crazy. All right, I got to log back in because I was really just wanting to make a joke about Jordan Poole.
Hell yeah.
So guys that aren't on the team they started the season with.
So one of these guys was the gem of the buyout market, and he started on the East Coast and now is on a West Coast team. He struggled. For the original team he was on.
Oh, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie is number 4, 39% from the field this year.
And he's still shooting bad with the Lakers.
It's tough. It is tough. This next guy was he was on the same team as Spencer Dinwiddie.
The Nets. So
and's now out west as well.
It's not Royce O'Neal, is it?
Royce O'Neal is number 3 at 39% from the field. Yep.
What's he shooting from 3?
He's actually shooting 37% from 3.
See, that's good. Like, honestly, I don't know why he's
paying. All he shoots is 3s.
Yeah.
All he shoots 39
is crazy, though.
Yep. All right.
No wonder the Nets were
next
so
one on this list started in the East and went to the East. He made his second appearance back with this team. He's played for this coach before and has played for this team before.
Kyle Lowry.
Not Kyle Lowry. He is the same position as Kyle Lowry, though. He's a taller point guard.
Oh, well, Kyle Lowry ain't tall. He's got a butt.
He originally played for the worst team in basketball who lost 23 games in a row, 25 games in a row.
Oh, the Pistons.
But now he's not on that team. He got traded.
Alec Burks.
Alec Burks is number 2, 39% as well from the field. Number 5, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you because I would have never guessed it. He's a rookie for the Pelicans. You know any rookies for the Pelicans? It's number 5 is Jordan Hawkins.
Oh, boy from Connecticut.
Yep, 39.
Dude, he had a clip in college, though.
He did, 39%.
And that's probably all threes.
Yeah, 39.3%, tough. It is tough.
It's rookies. Rookies have their growing
pains. Yeah, it's definitely
unless you're Brandon Miller and you like having the most underrated best rookie season right now.
Yeah, Brandon Miller's a star in the making.
Yes. I think the greatest thing for Brandon Miller right now is the fact that nobody except for my boy, what is his name, Calkins or something like that?
Eric Collins.
Collins. The only person not named Aaron Collins. Nobody talks about Brandon.
Dude, I hope Chris interviews him so bad. He talked about having him on.
Really?
Yes. I would love to.
I'll tune in for that.
He's like the mix guy. The Hornets announcer is literally the reason I watch Hornets games.
Yeah. He makes it fun. And also, like, Brandon Miller, if y'all haven't watched Brandon Miller is
special.
Balling.
He is special.
Balling. And I think it's good that he's going under the radar.
And
it's
good,
helping.
Good that they got vets like Seth Curry and Grant Williams.
Grant.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, all the people on this list are all stars this year, and you should be able to guess them, no problem. A lot easier list. But guess who has the most 30-point games this season?
Luka.
Luka is number 2 at 41.
2? That's disappointing for me. Mm-hmm. Is it Wardell?
Stephen Curry is tied at 5th with Jalen Brunson. They have 24 30 pieces this season.
All right. Is it Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Giannis is number 3 at 35 30-point games.
So I just need 4 and 1?
Yep, need 4 and 1.
How many did Luka have?
41.
Damn.
Yep.
Golly.
Just wait till you hear number 1.
Number 1 is in... Is it Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid's number 4 at 28. The fact that he's still here with his injury is fucking insane.
Well, I was sitting there, I'm like, dude, he was... That month stretch where he was like 40-something points, and I was like, he had to have averaged 30 every game. All right, so hold on. I'm trying to think of all. Oh, is it Jason Tatum?
It's not Jason Tatum.
Is it West?
Yep.
Who are the West starters? Is Luka? Oh. Is it Shea?
Shea has 45 30-point games this year. He is the MVP of the league.
You realize he's averaged over 30 every month this year.
Incredible.
Granted, he's averaging 30-something points a game, but, like, that man, it's rare that he doesn't score 30.
Incredible.
Like, and I tell you, he's under control every time. Like, it is hard to find a basketball player just that in control.
Yes.
Like, he can speed it up if he needs to, and he's still in control. Yes. He can slow it down, and he's still in control. Like, that dude, Chris Paul did a number on him.
He is so special. He is so special.
Oh, he's awesome. I bet the Clippers wish they still had him.
Hell yeah. We're doing an old throwback of who's made more threes this season. We're running through like eight of them, but I'm interested to see. Some of these names are hilarious.
I'm already scared.
Which NBA player has made more threes this season? Dante DiVincenzo or Klay Thompson?
DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo's 192, Klay's 187. Warriors should have kept Dante.
I stand by that, dude. Klay Thompson's a bum right now.
Klay Thompson's struggling. All right, Dante DiVincenzo or Trae Young?
Trae.
Dante DiVincenzo, 192. Trae Young, 169.
Whoa. What?
Yep. Yep.
He's lower than Klay.
Yep. Dante been hooping.
Trae need to get out of there.
Trae need to get up there. Trae Young or Malik Beasley?
Malik Beasley, low-key been hooping.
Malik Beasley, 174. Trae Young, 169.
Malik Beasley been hooping.
Tyrese Maxey or Derek White?
Stop it. Give me my ball, brother. Derek White.
Give me Tyrese Maxey, 168. Derek White, 151. Maxey a sharp shooter now.
That's all he shoots.
Facts.
That's all he shoots.
Facts. All right. Damian Lillard or Kobe White?
Give me Kobe White.
Kobe White, 167. Dame, 164. Kobe, breakout year.
Kobe has actually been balling.
Only bright spot of the Bulls season, for
sure.
Yes,
and it's because he brought the Afro back.
Mm-hmm. Kobe White or James Harden?
Kobe.
Kobe White, 167. James Harden, 150.
Dang.
James Harden or D'Angelo Russell?
Give me Russell.
D'Angelo Russell, 155. Final one, D'Angelo Russell or Luka Doncic?
Luka.
Luka Doncic, 205. Yeah. D'Lo, 155.
Luka be draining them all.
Yes.
Luka's hooping.
Wasn't even close. Luka's second in the league.
If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was not having the year he's having, Luka would be the runaway MVP.
You can probably guess who was first.
With threes?
Yeah.
Is it still Steph?
Yeah, it's not even close.
I was about to say, what is he at, 250?
Yeah, I couldn't even put him with any of these names.
Yeah, because it's not fair.
Yeah, it's not even
like
close.
I'm even if he's not – like, if you had done it and it was like he wasn't winning, I would still pick him out of precedent. Like, it'd be 100%. Wrong to pick against Steph.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And it'd be like – it goes back to, like, what, 2015 when Harden was cooking like he was?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be wrong to have picked against James Harden for a three-point category thing because, like, James was – shooting nothing but threes.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely.
Man, you remember, wasn't it Stanley Johnson that got cooked by him?
Yeah, poor Stanley.
Wasn't it Stanley?
Poor Stanley. This next list is pretty fun. It's a top five, and it's the most attractive players in the NBA. And
by who? Whose definition of, like, attractiveness is this?
This is according to Ranker, okay?
So, if Boban...
The website where everybody in the world can vote.
Really?
Yep. This is the most. This is.
I already know who number one is because he's like got a thirst trap for every single female in the history of the world.
We'll get there right now, actually. Guess the top five hottest players in the NBA.
I don't know that I condone this, but Kelly Oubre.
Here, I'm going to re say it. Guess the top five hottest players in the NBA.
Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre is number one. One, and it ain't even close. This is according to Ranker, by the way.
Dude, you know the feeling. Every time you sit down at a basketball game, like say we're at like trivia at Brookhaven, if Kelly Oubre comes on that screen, every single girl turns around. You know I'm not kidding.
No. Yep.
I don't understand what it is.
Yep.
Can you tell me what it is?
If my girl left me for Kelly Oubre, you know how much confidence that would give me?
Zero.
That'd give me quite a bit. Because Kelly Oubre would like my girl.
I'm not dapping you up after that. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not. You're going to be left hanging for a while.
Damn bro. It. If my girl was in Kelly Oubre's league, imagine.
I'm not even acknowledging that statement.
Okay.
Kelly Oubre, where is he, Philly? Is he still in Philly?
Yeah, having a career year in Philly.
Every year for Kelly Oubre is supposedly a career year.
Should I get you a Kelly Oubre jersey?
No.
Which jersey would you be more mad at? Kelly Oubre or LeBron James?
LeBron. I'd be pissed if you got me a LeBron.
Okay.
I'd be angry.
LeBron or Dylan Brooks?
Still LeBron.
Okay. Okay.
I would rather have a Dillon.
Is there anybody that you'd be more mad than to get a LeBron jersey? Because I feel like Kelly
Oubre. Draymond would be up there. I don't want a Draymond. Draymond would piss me off, and probably Clay at this point would piss me off, too. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else that
I'm surprised
despise?
You'd hate a LeBron jersey more than a Kelly Oubre jersey.
Kelly, I feel like, all right.
So, no, I feel like that's hella niche, and like you wearing a
I like niche, though.
You wearing a Kelly Oubre jersey would be fucking hilarious.
Hey, all the hoes would come up to you, though. Leah didn't hear that, but like.
The 12 Oubre.
When he was playing for the Wizards, so like his first couple years in the league, I remember trade deadline every time I was like, because, like, this was when we were in high school or college or whatever. Yep. I remember looking at you. I'm like, man, we could use a Kelly Oubre.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'd be fine with a Kelly Oubre.
Hell yeah.
And, like, he was always that guy that was in trade rumors. And then, obviously, his career, he's gone. He went from Wizards to Suns to Warriors. Now, I feel like he's been everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just a journeyman now. But, no, Kelly Oubre's always number one on these lists, even though I've never, ever, ever gone out of my way to find a hottest NBA player list. Only Jack would go to find that.
It was wherever I get my ideas. It was top of the website. But anyways, you have four other light skins left.
No, you just saying light skin. I'm gonna need East West.
They're all stars.
They're all stars.
Yeah, most of them are all stars. And they're all light skin. You got two in the East, two in the West.
Light skins, all stars. Jason Tatum.
That's a great guess, but it's in that same realm, but no, he's not on this list.
Like, this is how you truly know I've never, ever, ever thought about this.
You have...
Halliburton.
No, another great guess. It's in the realm, and he is an all-star, but no, he ain't on this list either.
Older all-star or, like, younger?
Older.
Is it Dame?
Not Dame.
I'm trying to think of light skin.
A city that's close to Milwaukee, though.
You know good and damn well I don't know geography.
It's in the East. He's a slam dunk champion.
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine is number two.
And see, I was going to guess him, but I didn't know people knew Zach LaVine like that. Mm-hmm.
Number three is a very blatantly obvious one. He's in the Western Conference. He likes to drive old cars, and he's got his own style. Light-skinned king, stayed with the same team his entire career. Has made an NBA Finals appearance, did not win it. Did play at the University of Kentucky.
Oh, shit. I'm an idiot. Devin Booker.
Devin Booker is number three.
That's an easy one.
Oubre, LaVine, and Booker, four and five. Number four is a multi-time MVP.
Steph Curry.
Not Steph Curry, good guess, though, but... He's in the Eastern Conference. He's won an NBA Finals, too. Team I'm very high on. You already guessed someone from this team. It was just the wrong star.
No way Giannis is up there.
Giannis, according to Ranker, is number four hottest in the NBA.
Okay.
Number five. Number five has never made an all-star team, but we thought he was going to be an all-star. He's been in the slam dunk competition, did terrible. We don't even know if he should be starting for this team. He's in the Western Conference.
What team? Western Conference.
State of Texas.
So is it?
He also has amazing hair like Kobe White.
Okay, so that takes out the guess I was about to say, and I'm glad I didn't say it.
Kind of blows in the wind.
Oh, bro. Jalen Green.
Jalen Green is number five.
That, like, I see the theme with that list outside of Giannis. Like, I see the theme with that list. And
yeah, Giannis doesn't make sense.
Well, like, all those other guys are, like, 6'4". Yeah. Like, most girls are fine with a 6'4 guy. 6'11's, like,
insane.
Hard to, you know what I mean? Like, picture yourself with.
Yeah.
Because most girls are, like, 5'6 and smaller.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And there's not much more beautiful than light-skinned American men. Greece is a little weird to me.
I'm not having this conversation with you.
We can have it.
I'm not doing this
Leah conversation. At the door.
The fact that Desmond, Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. were not on that list, though, is very upsetting. That's all I'm saying. We got some good-looking men on the Memphis Grizzlies.
That is true.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
If Ja had not shown his weapon, I think he'd be on this list.
I think because he showed his weapon, he should be on this list. I mean, Kelly Oubre got in a wreck with himself, so.
It's definitely a take. It's definitely a take. All right.
Hot boy hours.
Now, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Let's swing a little bit our way.
Oh, no. No way I'm guessing the ugliest.
No. This isn't that. Oh, I didn't do us that bad.
Okay.
Guess the five best white players in the NBA.
White players.
Oh, wait. Let me rephrase that because I forgot to add this. Guess the five best white players in the NBA right now.
These are, I think, of white dudes. Luka counts, right?
These are only American.
Only American. Okay.
Only what Americans?
This shows you how much I know.
They're all young guys. Number one, actually, I won't give you number one yet. Number five on this list went to a team with incredible culture. Played at UCLA. Late in the draft was a steal for this team in the state of Florida. Really replaced Kevin Love in his role.
UCLA? Oh, Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez is number five on this list.
Hey, Jaime Jaquez should have been on the hottest players list. Jaime Jaquez got the flow, too.
Hey, I agree with that.
That's all I'm saying.
I can get down
with
that.
Put some respect. All right, Jaime Jaquez. All right, I got to lock it in. White people.
Think of white people.
NBA. Are these like, these are all mid-level players, though, right?
These are
like,
all
we don't have, like, hoopers.
Yeah, these are all mid-level players, white Americans.
Can I get Luke Kennard?
Luke Kennard is not on this list. A guy on Jaime Jaquez's team is, though. The ones that hate me the most look just like me.
Oh.
You tell Tyler me Hero. What that means. Tyler Hero is number two.
Tyler Hero. White people. I'm like trying to picture white.
This white guy you hate because he plays for your King's favorite team.
My King's favorite team?
Yeah.
Who's my King? LeBron? Who's LeBron's favorite team?
The Lakers? No, he plays on his team.
Oh, he plays on LeBron's team?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, F Austin Reeves, bro. Austin Reeves could play on any basketball team, and I would turn it off.
Well, according to Ranker, Austin Reeves is a top three white in the NBA.
I would disagree. Luke Kennard's a better basketball player than him. Gordon Hayward's still a better basketball player than him. Gordon Hayward hadn't played basketball in like 7 years.
Well, Gordon Hayward, once he gets out of his wheelchair, we'll have that conversation.
I don't need to have that conversation. Gordon Hayward's a much better basketball player than Austin Reeves.
Gordon Hayward's
Austin Reeves culture. Is going to be out of the league in 3 years.
Who was the Austin Reeves before Austin Reeves? For your King. Who was the white on the Kings team?
Caruso.
Alex.
I hate the way you're saying white. We're going to get banned from YouTube for this conversation.
The Caruso. Alex Caruso is number four. Alex Caruso is number four.
So do I just have number one? Or number one is Tyler Hero?
Number two is Tyler Hero. Alex Caruso is number four. Number one is a rook.
What?
He's a rookie. Son of a bitch, I can't stand, actually. He was a top three pick 2 years ago, but he's still a rookie.
Oh, man. Chet Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren is number one.
See, I forget he shouldn't act white. Like, two of the people on that list don't
know. Chet Holmgren's a dick. Do you remember whenever he got asked who the best player in the league was?
Me in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut the hell up.
Yeah. It's also front tooth looks a little weird, but that is what it is. All right, let's get to some NFL Combine. What was your biggest takeaways, Coop? You and I, we didn't get to talk much this weekend. You texted me about my boy Jalen Wright running a 4.3, and then we didn't talk about Xavier Worthy, 4.21 all-time NFL record. What stood out to you?
This is a lazy answer, but I'll dive in after I say this, but the speed, dude. You go from, like, obviously Xavier Worthy was insane, 4.21, broke the combine record. But go across the board. The offensive linemen in this class are athletic as hell. Like, there was literally an offensive line where someone was like, 10 years ago, that's a tight end in the NFL.
Mm.
Like, that's how agile he was. And, like, he ran like a 4.9 at 300 pounds. And I'm like,
it's insane.
What the hell are we feeding these dudes? I mean, the 360-pound dude from Texas ran a 5.1. 360-pound D-tackle runs a 5.140.
Mm.
Like, that's still faster than me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the speed is insane. Just to hit on running backs, like, this class doesn't have a Bijan, but I liked what I saw of the running backs. Like, from Jalen Wright, there was the dude from a smaller school. I think his name was, like, Dylan Laub or something like that. He looked really nice. Estime looked decent. The running back out of Louisville had a really solid day. I don't remember his name.
Blake Corum compete at all?
Blake Corum looked all right. But I felt like every time I was, like, looking Blake Corum, like, they, like, when Blake Corum would go, they would, like, go pan to a different thing. I was like, okay. So I didn't get to see much of him.
I thought you were going to say something else. I thought it had to do with your Ohio State.
No, and but Blake Corum's good. Like, I don't think we have to question that. The dude from Florida State had a really good day. Benson, yeah. I thought it was really good.
You're also looking for Cowboy-specific stuff,
yeah,
too.
And I'm looking, yeah, for bigger body guys. Mm-hmm. As far as receiving backs go, and I'm talking for the Kansas City Chiefs because they're losing both Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jarrett McKinnon. That dude out of this is going to bug me. I think it was Oregon. Yeah, Oregon. Bucky Irving. Yes. Oh, my gosh. That dude was a wide receiver at running back.
Yes.
Like, he was, like, because you know how they do those? Mm-hmm. They do the Omaha routes and the Texas routes or whatever. That man's cuts were so pristine. But, obviously, I watched running backs as a whole. O-linemen, this is the deepest O-line class we've seen in a while. Like, and it's – I was watching a video, and because I was like – you know me, I couldn't sit down and watch all of the combine, but I like to watch a little bit of it. But after the combine was over or whatever, they released winners and losers. And their first loser was the offensive line free agency class. They were like, it's not an O-line in the actual class because this class is so good. But they were like, the Tyron Smiths of the world, there was the Micah Wenu, like all these
guys.
It's
funny you say that. I feel the same way about receivers, too, because I look at a guy like Calvin Ridley. It's so much cheaper to go get one of these talents in the draft, you know?
Like, but you're like, do I really want to pay? Because obviously we'll hit on Tyron Smith here in a second because the offseason guidelines, Cowboys are involved today. But the news came out that he's not re-signing with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And it was probably because for the last, like, for Tyron's entire career, honestly, he's played on a cheaper deal. Like, he's outplayed his contracts, even if he's missed 12 games. He's just so good at what he does. But the Cowboys are like, dude, we're not paying you $12 million Facts. When you're going to miss four games, at least four games.
Facts.
And but Tyron can go get money from somebody. Like, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, why not throw everything you can at this guy? Because your left tackle was a turnstile this year. But then you're like, wait, why would I do that when I can maybe draft a guy in the third round that's a starting caliber offensive tackle? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of teams wait on some of these offensive linemen in the free agency class to get a guy in this draft class. Like, this draft class is the deepest I've ever seen for a line. Wide receivers were insane. Tight ends, there was a lot of guys. Like, you only
JJ
hear of Brock
McCarthy.
Bowers. I didn't watch a single quarterback thing except for Joe Milton throwing the ball, like, 85
By
yards.
The way,
like, it was
that,
effortless.
That comp, did you see he purposely waited?
Oh, to throw it? Yeah.
The Joe Milton thing, this is why so many schools fell in love with him, because they watched him throw at an event like this, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. But my thing is, if bro couldn't throw a bubble screen.
Yeah.
Bro, what, couldn't throw a slant.
He's going to get drafted late day two, early day three.
Yeah.
Like, he will be third to fourth round. Just because of his arm.
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to be like, well, I can fix it.
Yeah, exactly. The coaches have that ego of, hey, if I get him underneath me, I can fix it.
Facts. But I'm trying to think anything I missed.
Pause on him underneath me. Sorry about that.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah. Anyways.
You're a big top guy.
Okay. let's continue with J.J. McCarthy, because I want to get your
I honestly didn't watch the single
thing.
Did you
hear what Lewis Riddick had to say about him?
I heard a lot of people say, J.J. McCarthy just moved into being the number three quarterback off the board now, and I was like, what?
So, Lewis Riddick went on ESPN. He said, Shefty, I got something for you. Because, you know, he's a former GM. He's like, I've been talking to scouts around the league. A lot of people believe he's going to be top five pick in this draft. And that's the exact same reaction I had. And I was like, wow. I wonder what my roommate Cooper, Michigan lover 6969, would think about this. So
look, JJ McCarthy, I did a mock draft the other day, and I'll just so you can see the proof. Obviously, I'm not going to show it to everybody down here, but
you drafted him 179th.
No. I just did a round one mock draft, and I sent it to Alex because I was like, I kind of like this one, but here, let's. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. I have him going in the first round because there's a team that I definitely think will take him in the first round. And it is right there at number 12. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
I think the Denver Broncos fall in love with JJ McCarthy and they're going to draft him number 12. We already saw the Russell Wilson news today. He got cut. There's no way in hell you're going in with Jared Stidham as your starting quarterback. I think everybody in the free world can see that. I can totally see Sean Payton being like, this is my guy. Mm-hmm. I can turn him into something.
Nope.
I personally don't think he's worthy of a round one pick, but quarterbacks always go way higher than they should, and that's just the perk of the position, which we're going to hit on in a second when we get to some of these offseason guidelines. He earned himself money. I won't lie. Like, seeing the combine stats and all that stuff, I haven't actually watched it with my own two eyes, but seeing the combine stats, seeing all the talk around it, he earned himself money. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's my biggest takeaway, is a lot of guys earned themselves money. There's not many guys that I sat there and I was like, you just lost yourself money by competing in this. Like, I thought every guy was exceptional athletically. I thought they looked great in the drills. Like, there wasn't really a guy that I sat there and I was like, damn, you was about to be like a top 50 pick and you're not mm-hmm. going to get drafted in the top 100 now. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a guy that I just said that about. Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, McCarthy would be that guy that I would love to see taken in day two, day three. But or not day two, day three. Day mm-hmm. two on round two or round three, he's going to go in the top 15.
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly believe that now.
I saw there's been – because, you know, the Caleb Williams things just went completely the other way of how everybody hates him and stuff now. And I saw people – Pat is always Mr. Positive Guy and was defending him on how he shook everybody's hand on NFL Live and all these other networks.
That's just kissing
stayed
ass.
Around and did all this. And my thing is, I'm not even judging the kid on right now. Yes, he didn't throw. Joe Burrow didn't throw. All mm-hmm. these other guys didn't throw. How does he respond to adversity? He responds to adversity by screaming at his teammates on the sideline of the Notre Dame game. He responds to adversity by crying in his mother's arms after a game. I don't know if you go 3-14 your first year in the NFL, if that kid can just take it on the chin like Bryce Young has. We don't know if Bryce Young's an NFL quarterback, but we know he's acted with class the entire yes. year, even though his situation has been completely unfair.
Facts.
Caleb Williams in Chicago, his situation's going to be dog shit. I don't think he's going to respond well.
I don't either.
The fact that we just saw the run that Patrick Mahomes just went on, and we're saying his name with somebody else. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback God has ever created.
Yes.
And there is no comparison to Patrick Mahomes. Caleb Williams will never be Pat Mahomes. I'm confident no. saying that.
No. Well, I'll go ahead and say this. They keep comparing him to Aaron Rodgers. He'll never be Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I'm sorry. You have to understand, like, Aaron Rodgers wasn't taken number one overall.
Yeah.
Neither was Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but Joe Burrow has been a success at the number one.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence really hasn't been that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. When was Dak Prescott taken? Fourth round.
Yep.
When was Brock Purdy taken? My point is, by saying all of that, sometimes you don't necessarily have to have the guy that's the best traits. Mm-hmm. You have to have the guy that wants to win.
Exactly.
You have to have the guy that has the ability to look at his teammates in the eyes. Hey, we're down three with a minute and a half to go. Mm-hmm. We got this.
Joe Milton will get a chance to start one or two games, but he'll quickly be pulled because he's not a good quarterback. But he will stay. He will have a 10-year career strictly on the fact of how good of a teammate he is.
Yes.
Hennon Hooker went to Tennessee to be a backup. Joe Milton got the starting job, lost it midseason, and Milton didn't transfer. He didn't run from the smoke. He stayed through the year and then stayed even another year when he knew he wasn't going to be a starter to get an opportunity the final year.
Yeah.
I can't see Caleb Williams having the humility to blame take any type of blame on what's going on. He's going to put it on his teammates. He's going to put it on his coaches. He's going to do it on somebody else. And for the arrogance, just to answer the question of why you didn't give everyone your medicals, look, I get players do that. But you don't have to say 32 teams will not have the opportunity to draft me.
Yeah, that's cocky as shit. Did you see the thing where it said NFL teams are believing Caleb just has too much going on? And they're like, I don't really want to touch him. Like, I read an article where they were like, there are NFL teams that may or may not even have the ability to take them, but they're like, dude, we're scratching them off our list because it's not just football.
Whenever your dad is representing you or anybody close to your family is representing you, I don't believe you have the best people in your ear.
Yeah.
Your dad telling you what to say, because it's no fault of Mr. Williams believing in his son and doing all this, but you don't need to be on your cocky shit. Like, you don't need to be purposely arrogant. Yeah. I love a little bit of arrogance in an athlete. I always have.
At the end of the day, some athletes need that. Like, Michael Jordan was a little cocky, but it worked. Like, you haven't done anything yet. You have to earn the right to do that in this league. Like, you're not just going to come in day one and be the best. Like, the thing I loved most about Bryce Young's always the most humble guy in the room.
Yep.
And he's just had one of the worst seasons ever. Like, I mean, the man was getting hit every other play.
And Joe's the most confident guy in the world. And, like,
he still gets credit where credit's
due. Same with Kyler. Same with all these guys. I don't understand it. But, yeah, that's my point.
All right, let's get into a little off-season guidelines. Blueprints. We are moving to 3 per week because it'll time out perfectly. The last 3 will be right on the same week as the NFL draft. It'll get you perfectly in time. And, obviously, free agency starts coming up, so we will also have free agents being signed to teams that we'll mention on further teams. But we are moving into the teams that got out in the wild card round.
Beautiful.
Starting with probably the most wild card round or most disappointing wild card round exit, and that is my Dallas Cowboys. They have a lot of free agents.
You better buckle up. This is going to be a 40-minute segment.
It is. With the amount, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 starters. 8 if you count Leighton Vander Esch.
Name him.
So, Leighton Vander Esch, I wrote, may retire from football just in general because 4 neck injuries probably isn't a good thing to keep playing. And if he doesn't retire, the Cowboys will cut him. Yes, like, that's just set in stone. He won't be on this team next year. He probably won't be playing football next year. Jordan Lewis, slot corner. Mm-hmm. He was honestly a backup, but then obviously with the Trayvon Diggs injury, he got thrust into that starting role again. Jayron Kearse, let him walk. Mm-hmm. Tyler Biadasz, starting center. Edge, Dorrance Armstrong. His mark has already been claimed to be bigger than anticipated, so he ain't coming back. Running back Tony Pollard, we'll hit on him in a second. Cornerback Stephon Gilmore, and left tackle, lifelong Cowboy Tyron Smith. We'll start with Tyron. I already mentioned a little earlier. He's not coming back to the Cowboys, probably because Jerry Jones lowballed him, said, look, we're going to incentive base your contract. You're going to take a team-friendly deal because you have done that in your entire career. Tyron is going to go get his last bag. At the end of the day, team's got to know Tyron Smith is going to miss at least 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to practice at all because if you practice, he will get injured. But Tyron Smith, to this day, is still the best left tackle ever. I understand all the arguments to be made for Trent Williams for the 49ers. Tyron Smith is insane. Mm-hmm. He's so strong, and if he touches you, you're
Are you fine letting him go?
I am fine, and we'll obviously hit on that here in a second. I am fine. You're going to lose Tyron. You're probably losing Tony Pollard. You're definitely losing Dorrance Armstrong, and you're probably losing Tyler Biadasz. And you need to let go of Jayron Kearse anyways because he was just bad. So you will have to replace a lot of O-line moving into the needs for the Dallas Cowboys. O-line is a massive need. And I'll hit on it when we're talking some of the round one targets, more of my vision of what I think they should do for O-line. But they also need linebacker because we were converting safeties just to have linebackers because obviously Vander Esch with the neck injury. You lose a rookie third-round pick out of Texas. I'm blank. Damarian Overshown. You lose him to an ACL in the preseason, and he was looking to have a really solid year. So you were really banking on fifth-round special team guys and safeties. So you have to get some linebacker help. I wrote running back because I think running back's critical for this team, and I'll just jump right into the running backs, try to get Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, or Josh Jacobs. Try to get one of those two or one of those three. If not, get an estimate, get a big guy.
Heavy usage back is what they need.
Yes, we need to get a big boy. And if Tony Pollard's okay with taking a $4 million, $5 million year a deal type of thing to be a running back to come in, be the change of pace back, sure. Do not pay him $8 million. He ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Tony Pollard. With the way the Dallas Cowboys try to run the football, Pollard ain't it.
I don't think his market's going to be there. I don't think anybody's going to give him $8 million. I think his only choice is
come back and be a running back. He is a running back, too. Like,
and it'll boost his value anyways. If you take, even if, like, some dog shit team's willing to offer you $8 million a year, it's not going to be good for your career anyways.
No, and at the end of the day, running backs, you got to get what you can because the running back market is tough, yeah. Especially after you watch the draft or the combine. Guys like Jalen Wright, who were projected to be fourth round draft picks, they're out there looking like prime Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that running back has become one of these things where you're not getting past the first contract. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he's really just going to have to take what he can. I do want to mention this. Sign Dak Prescott now. $60 million a year, I don't care. Sign him. Because you're not going to find a better quarterback.
Always going to end up being cheaper now than it is in the future. As crazy as the first bite will be, his four-year $120 million sounded crazy at the time. Now it's cheap as hell.
So yeah, his four-year $120 million reset the market then, and now he's the 12th highest paid quarterback.
Yes.
Because guys like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, they all got paid. You pay him $60 million, next year someone's getting paid $75 million.
Absolutely.
And he's going to go right back to being the 10th, 12th highest paid quarterback, as he should be. But Dak Prescott is a top 15 quarterback, top 10 if you really want to argue it. You're not finding that guy worth where you're drafting. You're just not. And it's harder to find a guy like Dak Prescott who can continue to get you to the playoffs than it is to find someone to get you to the playoffs. Absolutely. I understand the playoff success isn't there yet. You have as good of a chance to get through playoffs with Dak Prescott as your quarterback than you do with drafting a random quarterback. And that's just my thing. Pay it now. Don't wait. Do it. Get it over with. I want to re-sign Stephon Gilmore if we have the money. And I also mentioned swing for Danielle Hunter. Potential reunion between Danielle Hunter and Mike Zimmer. It makes sense, and that's the way Mike Zimmer wants to play football. And it would just be electric to have Micah Parsons be that kind of guy that's running straight up the middle linebacker blitzer. I just think there's a lot of different packages that Mike Zimmer could run if you get a guy like Danielle Hunter. I just don't believe the Cowboys spend money, and they don't. They're going to sign five veterans to a minimum deal, and that's going to be their free agency. Round one targets, though. And this is where I'll mention the offensive line thing. But first, Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker at Texas A&M. Cowboys have drafted linebacker a lot in the first round, and I'm typically not a fan of it. Edgerrin Cooper is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He is awesome. I'm okay if you don't draft him, though, but he will be in the late first-round range, so it's not going to – I'm not going to be infuriated if you do. But if you wait and you try to get a guy like Peyton Wilson out of NC State, also fine with that. I think the Cowboys will draft a linebacker within the first three rounds. I really do. And if they go first round, it will be Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. But moving on to offensive line. They can do this a lot of different ways because you drafted Tyler Smith out of Tulsa a couple years ago in the first round as an offensive tackle, and we're like, look, we're going to teach him technique, so we're going to move him to guard, but he is going to eventually be Tyron Smith's replacement. I don't think that anymore. What is the news?
That's a bad news. If
Anthony Edwards just showed up late to his own game.
Huh.
He had to be brought off the bench for the first time since his rookie season.
That's a real Michael Jordan-esque type move right there.
Yeah, he's Michael Jordan. Wow, what a perfect, perfect time to have the conversation we just had.
Yeah, the fact that we literally said he's not going to be able to do
it. Unless something, we're just reacting live to it. Unless, a family emergency happened and maybe later something will come out that's what was the case.
Yeah.
If this dude just overslept on his afternoon nap or just showed up late, because of, quote, traffic or some other bullshit.
Because I know he left a game during halftime to go see the birth of his child, so maybe it has something to do with that.
And we don't have much to say because, the head of our franchise flashes guns on Instagram, but, his competitive ass has never been late to his own game. Just put it that way. Continue.
Facts. All right, so look. I don't think they're going to move Tyler Smith to the left tackle. Mm-hmm. I really don't. With Tyler Smith has been compared to legends at the offensive guard spot now. I think you keep him at left guard because he's been so damn good there. He was almost all pro this year at left guard. I would go tackle, but if they draft a guy like Graham Barton out of Duke, who will be a guard in the NFL, then that means they're moving Tyler out to left tackle, which I'm fine with, but I'd prefer to keep Tyler at left guard and draft a guy like Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, Amarius Mims out of Georgia, or I don't know how to say that name, Troy Fatuna, out of Washington. He probably won't be there after what he tested because he ran like a 4.9 and he was the guy that was running like a tight end and he's athletic as hell. He's probably going to go way higher, but I think they should just draft an offensive tackle, plug and play at left tackle, move on. You're probably going to see them also draft more than one left tackle, obviously not in the first round because they only have one pick, but you're going to see them draft a lot more than just one offensive lineman because Zach Martin ain't getting any younger. Terrence Steele was a dumpster fire at right tackle. You're losing your center and your left tackle. Like, aside from Zach Martin, who is still the best right guard in the NFL, and Tyler Smith, who has planted himself as a great starting left guard, you basically have holes to fill on the entire offensive line. So you're going to see them draft a lot, but Dallas Cowboys will look O-line or linebacker round one. And that is my Dallas Cowboys offseason preview.
Hell yeah, brother.
Moving on to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns don't have as much free agents, but they do have a lot on the defensive side. It's all defense. Za'Darius Smith, who they traded for from the Vikings, I believe, he's up for a contract. Mo Hurst, D-tackle, and Shelby Harris, D-tackle. And then two linebackers who were I'm not even going to mention them because they're not that good. I wrote wide receiver with speed first. Because you have Amari Cooper, who is a route technician. He's going to catch everything. He's obviously not as young as he once was, so he doesn't have the burners to take a defensive off the top like he used to. And you have Elijah Moore, great slot receiver. He's shifty, good route runner, good hands. Like, you have those two guys. They don't have a round one draft pick. If they trade up into the draft, it will be for the guy who ran the fastest 40 at the NFL Combine, and it will be Xavier Worthy. I think you put Xavier Worthy on this team, that wide receiver room is elite because you have the speed, and Xavier Worthy is no slouch on catching either. You have the speed with Xavier Worthy. You have Amari Cooper, who is still shown to the world that he can do it with any quarterback, and then you have Elijah Moore in the slot. That is a scary wide receiver group, and this team needs kind of an influx of offensive firepower because we don't know what Nick Chubb's going to look like coming off this second ACL.
Yeah, you don't really trust that. Yeah,
and you don't really trust that. And I did write running back as another need, but I did want to mention I wanted to throw the Xavier Worthy in there quickly because they don't have a round one pick, so it's kind of hard to.
You know who I love getting Xavier Worthy.
Don't say the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex has already talked so much about that. That's who it is. I know that's who it is. Now you want to know who I'd love to get Xavier Worthy? The Dolphins. Can we just get Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle?
No, I don't say anything. Because I don't think – because you look back at the guys who ran the fastest 40s, it's not a good history.
No, John Ross was the only one. Yeah. Like, and what happened to him?
Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough.
It's typically tough. But I did also mention they just need depth all around, especially defensive depth. Mm-hmm. They're losing two linebackers. They're losing two D-tackles. They're losing an edge. Just gets – your defense is great. Mm-hmm. It's already one of the best. Go ahead and get some more depth. Fill that in with the draft picks you do have because you don't have a first-round draft pick of the Deshaun Watson trade. And then also I mentioned running back because you need some insurance. Kareem Hunt is probably done. Like, at the end of the day, the wheels have
He's cooked.
Yeah, he's cooked. We don't know what Nick Chubb's going to look like, and you probably just need to have another back just in case. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a sign, a running back, a lower running back, or if that's draft a guy in, like, the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, which you see a lot of teams doing nowadays. I don't know, but they do need to go get a running back. And last but certainly not least, on this week's edition of offseason previews, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Their free agents are interesting. You're losing Fletcher Cox, lifelong Eagle. You're losing Brandon Graham, also lifelong Eagle. DeAndre Swift's up for a contract, and then two linebackers, and Nicholas Morrow and Zach Cunningham. And I also mentioned Jason Kelsey officially retired today, or yesterday. I don't remember which day it was. So your needs are clearly center.
Yes.
Clearly a center.
Hard to replace the greatest of all time.
It's hard to replace him. Oh, and I'll mention the best replacement for him as in their round one targets. You need some cornerback help. Your corners kind of got cooked this year. Darius Slay looks like he lost a step, as did James Bradbury. You just need some cornerback help because that was honestly the only downside to your defense this year. They already cut – I didn't mention this, but they cut Kevin Byard, who they traded for, which was an – interesting cut.
He must have been horrible.
Yeah, I don't remember him being that bad, but
yeah,
I guess they just wanted to get under the cap flexibility or whatnot.
Yeah.
I also wrote you need some offensive tackle because Lane Johnson ain't getting any younger. Mm-hmm. And then I did edge and linebacker because obviously I think they bring back both Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox and maybe even DeAndre Swift. But
right.
Brandon Graham's 36. Like, exactly. It's not like we can expect him to just play out.
Right.
4 more years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad thing to go get a guy. But they did draft Nolan Smith last year out of Georgia, so we might see him take a leap this year. Who knows? They have an insane defensive line. So I think linebacker and corner are really their two biggest needs, and obviously safety now that Kevin Byard got cut. But round one targets. If you're going to fill the need of corner, Quinyon Mitchell solidified, I think, my pick as the number one cornerback in this league or in this draft. 4-3-3. He is crisp on it, like on his back pedal and like all of his agility. He is crisp. Guy out of Toledo, smaller school. We saw a guy out of a smaller school, non-power five school, not be the first corner off the board, but he has solidified himself as the best corner.
Legarius Sneed.
Mm-hmm. And Sauce Gardner. Yeah. Sauce Gardner was not power five, but Sauce Gardner wasn't taken number one. And I'm telling you, he's I think Derek Stingley showed that he can be a really good corner in this league, but he's still not Sauce Gardner level. Quinyon Mitchell will be the best corner in this first round. Like I'm saying, and I don't think he gets to the Eagles at 22, but if he does, I see them signing him. I wrote Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. He didn't get to participate in the combine because of injury.
Always saying that Nick Saban clip. Come on, Kool-Aid!
Yeah, well, I'm worried about him and I'm hesitant about him. He might find himself falling out of the first round because he has that plantar thing in his foot, which
plantar fasciitis.
He said he was going to compete at his pro day. I don't know if that's smart or not, but we'll see on him. I think he's fallen out of the top 15 round, and he's going to – or round one. I think he's going to fall to the back part of round one, if not round two. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen some guys with injuries come out. The best pick, if he falls to 22 for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon, if they've managed to get him. I can honestly see a world –
how many boners has Alex gotten from him?
From Jackson Powers Johnson? Yeah. Dude, this dude – went to the Senior Bowl, and every single scout at the Senior Bowl was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we knew this dude was like a good center, but like,
yeah.
Centers don't typically get taken in the top 20 of the NFL draft, and they were like, he's a top 15 prospect.
No.
As a center.
It's crazy.
So I see a world where the Eagles don't even stay at 22 and they trade up and go get this guy because there's not a team out there that's like, oh, we're losing the best center ever to play football, really. By the way, like I don't think there's a team that can really say that. Like obviously the Cowboys are a team that need a center, and so are the Seahawks. And
do you remember when the Patriots were like, "Yeah, we're losing Tom Brady, but somehow Mac Jones fell."
Mac Jones
is
gonna be us. Yeah. If I'm the Eagles, I go and find a way to get Jackson Byers Johnson. If not, if they stay Pat, J.C. Latham, tackle out of Alabama, I can see him being a good fit with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hell yeah!
But the Eagles have a lot of things to fix, coming off of a disappointing
coaching
season last
wise
year.
Too,
Quarterback, kind of, you're seeing a lot of Russ comparisons now because everybody's like, man, everybody hated Russ, so you just had to find people that fell in line.
Yeah.
I don't think that with Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. I think they have great system in place with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. I think they have all the pieces. It's just a matter of getting them there.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I think the Eagles will be a very interesting team to keep watch on, but if they can find a way to get Jackson Powers Johnson, they will get an A++.
Yeah, sure.
Because not only do you lose Jason Kelce, one of the best centers ever to do it, you replace him with the best center prospect.
For sure.
But that is a wrap on offseason guidelines this week. We'll be back next week with three. I believe it is the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins, or not Los Angeles. Yeah, Los Angeles Rams. Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hell yeah, bro.
So we'll get on your team next week.
That was great. I bet you had a lot of fun prepping the Cowboys stuff today.
I did. You know I love doing it. And honestly, the Cowboys is easy because I'm obviously a massive fan of the team. So, like, I've been sitting there dwelling on it for a really long time. And obviously, being a Cowboys fan, I know how they typically do it. They don't go free agency route ever.
Hell no.
Everybody keeps believing that Jerry Jones makes the big splash. I haven't seen the big splash in my entire 23 years of living. So
yeah, wow. Good point.
That was what happened back in his 40s when he was still. Never mind. I'm not even going to finish that statement. I was going to make a mean statement to him. Did you see that he has to go do a paternity test?
Jerry Jones?
Yeah. Yikes. He got sued by a woman saying that he's the father or whatever, and he was like, what? And
probably like, I can't even bust a nut, honey.